Peace be upon you. God willing, we're going to try to kick off these podcasts again, see how successful we're going to be. And wanted to just kind of change the format, maybe just pick a topic, talk about that. And today I wanted to talk about something known as encryption. And it's a topic that's been in the news a lot, and it actually has a lot to do with the Quran, which makes it pretty interesting. So what is encryption? Let's say, for instance, I have a message and I want to pass it to a recipient, but I don't want anyone else who's, you know, not the intended recipient to receive the message and be able to read it. And I want to keep that secure. So how do I do that? Well, encryption is a way of basically taking a text, sticking it into an algorithm to change the letters, the information in that text, to something that if a recipient received it and didn't know that algorithm by which I used, they wouldn't be able to decipher what the text says. And one of the simplest forms of encryption is actually just swapping out, let's say if I have a plain text message, is swapping each letter for a different letter. So as opposed to, let's say you have the English alphabet of A through Z, you take A and you say, okay, A is now B, B is now C, D is now E, you know, and such and such. So then this way I just shifted all the letters by one. So if I was to write out a message in plain text English, I would take each of the corresponding letters and I would shift them over. And again, A would turn to B and such. Such that if someone who wasn't the intended recipient received that letter and was trying to read it, they would just see gibberish, right? They wouldn't know the scheme by which I used, and they would basically be looking at it and dumbfounded by what they can do with the information. Now, obviously, you know, encryption schemes can be more and more elaborate. This is a very simplistic one, but it's actually this form of encryption was cracked in 850, and it was cracked by someone by the name of Al-Kindi. He was an Iraqi Muslim Arab. He was a philosopher, mathematician, doctor, you name it, you know, he's kind of done it all. And he came with an idea. He says, hey, look, in any given language, the frequency of occurrences of any letter within that language happens in a deterministic manner. And you can determine, like, so let's say in English, you know, the most frequently used letter in English is E. And then the second most frequent used letter in the English language is T. So if you had a text and you basically find out what letter was used the most frequently, irrespective of what the encryption changed that to, you can determine that that letter corresponds to E. So let's say, for instance, I use my scheme, I shift them over, so now E is F. You basically get the encrypted message. You look and you say, wow, the letter F occurs a lot in this message. You can say with a fair amount of certainty that that letter F actually corresponds to the letter E. So you start working your way backwards, and you identify basically the pattern, the algorithm by which I use to encrypt my message, and then you can basically crack my message. So this method is called frequency analysis, and surprisingly enough, this is actually what the messenger used when he came to the understanding, the conclusion that, look, the Quran is an encrypted text. And the way he found that out was, if you look at all the initial chapters within the Quran, so there's 29 initial chapters. For instance, chapter 42 and 50 use the initial Q or Qaf in Arabic. And what's interesting is that even though chapter 42 is twice as long as chapter 50, the occurrence of the letter Qaf or Q in that chapter is both 57, right? Meaning that there's a deliberate kind of intention that this is beyond kind of probability. Someone was deliberately trying to use this letter in the equal number among the two chapters. And this was the first major clue of the mathematical miracle, the Quran, that look, there's these prefixes, these initials that's prefixed the chapters, the corresponding chapters, aren't arbitrary. There's some underlying, you know, basically correlation with those letters and the frequency of occurrences within that given chapter. Now, this entire field of encryption and de-encryption is known as cryptography. Now, cryptography literally translates to the hidden secret. And that's actually the name of chapter 74, is entitled The Hidden Secret. And cryptography is the study and techniques to secure communication. So if it's presented to a third party or an adversary who's not the recipient, the intended recipient of that message, that they cannot understand it. They cannot understand the contents of that message. Now, God has a form of encryption that he placed inside the Quran. And God willing, we're going to talk about that. And I find it absolutely fascinating. Now, the encryption that God uses in the Quran to basically block out those who don't deserve to believe, those who don't deserve to have the true understanding, is sincerity. And it's spelt out in verses 56, 75 through 80, where it says, "Only the sincere can understand the Quran. I swear by the position of the stars, this is an oath if you only knew that is awesome. This is an honorable Quran and a protected book. None can grasp it except the sincere, a revelation from the Lord of the universe." Now, how awesome is this, right? This is a book that anyone can pick up and read in plain text, yet they're blocked out unless their heart is sincere. Meaning that they can read, they can study the entire Quran in Arabic and English and Hindi, whatever language they can possibly imagine. And if they're not sincere, they will not be able to tap into the rich amount of information that God is putting in there, right? That meaning that two people can pick up the same book, one a believer, one a disbeliever, and the disbeliever is strictly blocked out by the encryption of sincerity. Meaning that, you think about it, in all encrypted text, when an adversary, a hacker, someone basically intercepts that text, what they get is gibberish. But in the case of the Quran, the person can read, right, the verses, the words, the letters, they see it all, it's comprehensible, yet they're blocked out because God is the one who opens up the believers' hearts to gain the understanding, the appreciation of the Quran. And in 41, verses 41 through 44, it reads, "Mathematical miracle of the Quran. Those who have rejected the Quran's proof when it came to them have also rejected an honorable book. No falsehood could enter it in the past or in the future. A revelation from a most wise, praiseworthy. What is said to you is precisely what was said to the previous messengers. Your Lord possesses forgiveness and he also possesses painful retribution." And the header of 44 reads, "Language is irrelevant. If we made it a non-Arabic Quran, they would have said, why did it come down in that language? Whether it is Arabic or non-Arabic, say, for those who believe it is a guide and healing. As for those who disbelieve, they will be deaf and blind to it, as if they are being addressed from far away." Right? Look at that. It says, whether it's Arabic or non-Arabic, for those who believe it is a guide and healing, as for those who disbelieve, they will be deaf and blind to it. The language is irrelevant, right? God didn't put an encryption method where it's only limited to people of a certain language, right? It's not only limited to those who speak Arabic and classical Arabic at that. It's limited to those who are sincere, those who are seeking the truth. For those, God opens up their heart and allows them to basically get the benefits, the understanding, the rich amount of information that's in there. And in 1782, it says healing and mercy. We send down the Quran, healing and mercy for the believers. At the same time, it only increases the wickedness of the transgressors. You think of this, two people receive the same book. One of them gets healing and mercy. The other one, transgression and wickedness. And God allows this criteria to expand whatever it is that you believe in. In 1975 through 76, it reads, "Say, those who choose to go astray, the Most Gracious will lead them on until they see what is promised for them, either the retribution or the hour. That is when they find out who really is worse off and weaker in power. God augments the guidance of those who choose to be guided. For the good deeds are eternally rewarded by your Lord and bring far better returns." Now you think of this. God is saying whatever decision we make, God will allow us to basically grow in that decision to the point that, you know, you choose to believe, everything you see will confirm your belief. You choose to believe, you will be blind to all the evidence that's out there, and everything you see will reaffirm your disbelief. In 2246, it says, "Did they not roam the earth, then use their minds to understand and use their ears to hear? Indeed, the real blindness is not the blindness of the eyes, but the blindness of the hearts inside the chest." And then in 47:16 it reads, "Some of them listen to you. Then as soon as they leave, they ask those who are enlightened, what did he just say? God thus seals the hearts, and consequently they follow only their opinions." This is absolutely miraculous. God has sent a plain text scripture that anyone can read, but only the sincere can truly understand and appreciate. Inshallah, it's going to make us more appreciative of God's blessings and for opening our hearts. And we never, never take for granted that. That if it wasn't for God's mercy and God's will, we could be blind to this message. And God willing, we're going to stop it short there. Inshallah, I'm going to talk more about some of these topics in a future podcast. And by God's leave, hopefully I can keep this going. God bless you guys. If you guys got questions, feel free to email us at QuranTalk@gmail.com. Again, that's QuranTalk@gmail.com. Until next time, peace and God bless.